This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
1300 221 025 is the number to call, and I've picked one caller up, which we're going to go to. Should we just? We don't even know who it is, Sabrina.
Oh, no, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Woohoo! Hello, caller.
This is ABC. Who are you?
Good morning, girls.
Girls. And
me.
What's your
good
name?
Good morning. You sound like a lovely gentleman.
What's your name?
You're right there, Steve.
Steve!
I'm ringing from Rockingham.
Uh-huh. Lovely.
Sabrina, I bought three acacia sterling silver.
Oh, yes.
They're just like a little lemon-coloured bottle brush. Now, yeah. When I planted them, they're only about a metre high.
Yeah.
But the bottom branches... when I planted them, all going along the ground.
Oh, cut them off.
Yeah, I wanted to do that, but I wasn't sure what time of the year.
I reckon you should do that at this time of the year, right now, at 9:15. No, it's important to take those lower branches off, Steve. If you want it to grow into... It's interesting with sterling silver. It's a beautiful little tree, Amber, or a shrub, yep, depending on how you prune it.
Mm-hmm.
So it has the most gorgeous silver grey leaves and then a stunning yellow wattle flower on it.
Ooh.
But it's a lovely little compact grower, comes from WA. It's a native plant. And if you want it as a large bush, then you cut its head off. If you want to grow it as a tree, then you take the lower branches off.
Yeah, that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give it a bit of shape because, it's very healthy. It's going well.
Oh, fantastic. I love them, Steve. So get out there and do that before the strong winds come up tomorrow.
They're only about a metre high.
Okay.
Now, do you think, when will they start to bloom, do you think?
You may be lucky and get... No, you should get flowers next spring.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And when
and
you do...
Will I give them native fertiliser?
Yes, definitely. They like a bit of fertiliser, but native fertiliser. When it first flowers, Steve, we want you to send in a picture.
We do. Yes.
Oh, yeah? Fair enough.
Yeah.
When I prune the bottom pieces off, will I give it a hit with native fertiliser then or not?
Yeah, because the rain will wash that in.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah, you go wild this weekend, Steve. I want you to go wild and do all of that.
I mean, I get too wild at my age.
Oh, you sound like you've got the potential to be a wild man, Steve.
Oh, maybe 50 years ago.
Oh, come on, I'm sure there's a bit of something left in you, Steve.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
1300 221 025 is the number you can call. Right now, we've got a few lines open for questions for Sab. Narelle is in Joondalup. Hello, Narelle. What would you like to ask Sab?
Hi, Sab. I planted a passion fruit vine about 12 months ago, and it's growing beautifully. It's covered my whole fence, but I'm technologically incompetent and can't send the photos through. Sorry.
That's quite all right. Join one of many. I'm one of them.
I had it all sorted, but I've stuffed it. Sorry.
Never mind. That's okay.
It's got beautiful flowers, and I've got photos of it covered in bees.
Yes.
But then it's a Panama gold.
Yeah.
But then the flowers sort of close up.
Yeah.
And then they fall off onto the ground and make me cry.
Okay. Now, Narelle, I have been trying to get in contact with the Department of they're not a Department of Agriculture anymore. In Queensland, the University of Queensland have been doing studies on, and it's the innovation part of DPIRD and the university. They have been doing research all across Australia. Passion fruit vines are not setting fruit. And this has been occurring for, I know, who would have thought? Amber's looking most quizzical.
My message was, is it a dud? Is it deficient?
No.
Or have I been duped?
No, it is a genetic malfunction, basically.
Oh.
So what happens is the Nelly Kelly, the Panama Red, Panama Gold, those early passion fruit vines, hybrids, cultivars, were developed many, many years ago. And what's happened now is they are losing their vigour. Basically, the gene pool is ageing. So they're no longer, they can produce flowers.
I can understand.
Yeah, but they're not coming up with the goods.
They're menopausal.
They're post-menopausal,
exactly,
I reckon. So the Department of Innovation, that section of the research, are looking at developing new cultivars of passion fruit because it's happening across Australia. And the commercial growers are having major problems with cropping. They're just not getting the amount of passion fruit that they used to. So you're one of many that have passion fruit vines that are not developing fruit because that line, that run of cultivars and hybrids are now really old and they just want to lay down. They don't mind making flowers, but they're not interested in working any harder than that.
And do you know, if you hadn't given that articulate and stunning explanation, I would have gone, it's a sign of Armageddon. The passion fruits are not fruiting.
No. And we forget about all the research and development on our edible crops and particularly commercial crops. A lot of that work was done, you know, 40, 50 years ago. So what happens when we genetically alter stuff is that there can be, you know, it can have a lifespan and then we have to look to engineer something different, which is, you know, plant genetics is amazing. We should get a plant geneticist on the program. Who would never rival our beautiful physics man. But anyway,
so I'm hearing that I just need to enjoy the flowers.
You need to enjoy the flowers, Narelle. There is bugger all you can do about it. Basically, that's what I'm telling you.
Thank you for your wisdom. I appreciate your time.
Okay, good luck with that, Narelle. Thanks for calling. Roger is in Applecross. Hello, Rogs. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
What would you like to ask Sabrina?
Sabrina, I've got a river gum and it's pushing up pavers and I want to know, can I cut off a root that's about the size of my arm and will it kill the tree?
Ah, you can definitely cut that root off. It's pretty hard wood, I have to tell you. You will need to bring out the recip saw for that, Roger.
I've got one of those.
And it will not kill the tree.
Great, thank you.
Yep, off you go then. You're going to do that this morning, aren't you, Roger?
I am.
Don't stand on a ladder by yourself.
No, he's doing the root.
Sorry. I was listening to everything.
Unless he's teeny weeny, he won't need a ladder. Teeny weeny little man.
A ladder into the centre of the earth. Dean says, I planted a Panama red 18 months to 2 years ago and has started producing many passion fruits this year, guessing 50 plus.
Ripper. Well, Dean, Ripper, you are one of the lucky ones because a lot of other people are not getting any passion fruit. Do you know why I'm so excited today, Amber? Hey, can I'm really excited today?
Yes.
So excited because this big storm is coming.
Yes.
And I love storms. I'm going to be in the car late this afternoon, straight down the beach. I'm going to watch it and then I'll be there first thing tomorrow morning and I'm going to watch it and I'm going to be in it. And the reason I love storms is because we all forget about nature until nature hurls something at us.
She's
like
good.
This. And when nature hurls something at us like this, it reminds us that we are just one species within this magnificent planet we live in, and nature actually holds the trump cards, not us. So take that, Homo sapiens.
I think any moment in which you feel awe at something is worth clinging on to in this time. And even if it does, like, it makes me janky and I knit and you know, cuddle the dog while you're running off to the beach. I should try and run off to the beach, though. And also there's the nitrogen thing that happens with the thunder.
So much energy. Oh, my Lord.
She's gone off like a frog in a sock.
Ah, so exciting.
1-300-222-5. We have a couple of lines free. Coral says, my Myers lemon is doing nothing except trying to grow fruit, which I remove roots Pip? Shoots from the stock, which I remove, dropping leaves over which I weep.
Oh.
The eureka planted at the same time is four times the size. What the, says Coral of Bayswater.
I would suggest that you dig out around that poor, pathetic little lemon stick. Dig around it. And then replenish the soil. Go, get it in a wheelbarrow. Do it this morning because the wheelbarrow is going to be a bit wet later on today. Go and buy yourself a bag of compost, bag of sheep poo. Get some fertilizer, wetting agent. You're going to make a little, you're going to cover the base of that little tiny tree. You need it about the size of a tire. A car tyre around it, mound it up, talk to it. I actually rub the leaves of things because, you know, with plants, they sense all sorts of things and they can see all sorts of things and they sense light and energy and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, when you go up to a plant and you touch its leaf, they feel that because it's all about energy, basically, and vibration. So, I'm a true believer in talking to your plants.
Oh, look, I don't think there are nicer things to talk to than plants. I mean, sometimes they're better than husbands. Only sometimes. My husband sent me a text yesterday.
On
Thursday night when I was out, and it said Eddie Vedder dyes his hair and he's not cool anymore. Eddie Vedder is the singer.
I know who Eddie,
because you're a cool thing. And he'd seen that I'd been looking at Eddie Vedder on YouTube and became momentarily jealous. I was like, what the heck? And the reason I was looking for Eddie Vedder is because Tristan, who is one of our sound techs here, he sits opposite me when we're doing our production day, and every now and then one of us will just let rip with a roar, which is how, how Eddie Vedder sings. And I said to Coxie, I sense that the chip on your shoulder about being uncool is inflamed at the moment. And he agreed it was, which has got nothing to do with gardening. And all the people are going to go, this is a gardening show. Stay on track.
It is, but this is the best gardening show in the universe because...
Because you get an Eddie Vedder impersonation. Hello,
because
Betty.
Because we digress, Betty. We digress quite
Betty,
often.
Get me back on track, lady.
Oh, Betty. There's a trickle. Maybe Betty's in the toilet.
Elizabeth.
No, I'm not. I'm heating the kettle up.
Ah, that's good girl. Do you know, Betty, the reason I told you that, because I used to do an overnights program and they usually ring me at like 1:30 in the morning and they were running late. So I thought, this is 1:30 a.m. So I thought, oh, I've got time to go to the toilet. Anyway, I went to the toilet and bloody Pav, the producer, Michael Pavlich, he put me on straight away because he usually has a chat with me. And I was mid-flow, Betty, and it went live.
Across the nation.
Yeah. So hilarious. Betty. I'm ringing up Sabrina because I want to know a long flowering plant that will grow under shade and survive a Morawa summer.
Oh, a Morawa summer. Okay. So there is a Myoporum insulare because there's the Myoporum parvifolium. Okay. So Myoporum parvifolium, you can get it with a white flower or a little pink flower. It has small waxy leaves. You can get it with purple. So Myoporum parvifolium purpurea has purple foliage and it's much better in the shade. And that flowers all spring and summer, but you will need to water it to get it to take off. Then there is the Myoporum in, I call it insulare because it sounds posher than insulare, which is I-N-S-U-L-A-R-E. It's a big spreader. It's so tough, unbelievably tough, much tougher than the Myoporum parvifolium. Has a little white flower and it just flowers on and off all year.
Wow, that's what I want. Could you just spell that last bit again, please?
I-N-S-U-L-A-R-E.
Insulare.
Its common name is Creeping Boobiala.
Ooh.
Creeping Boobiala. Actually, it develops a little fruit and you can eat that as well.
Wow.
Betty, are you happy with that response?
Very much. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, pleasure. Betty. 1300 221 0025. Arnie has a question for you. Arnie is in Redcliffe. Good morning, Arnie.
Good morning, team. How are you doing?
We are absolutely fabulous. Thank you, Arnie.
That's great. About 4 weeks ago, Sabrina, I nearly steered the car off the road when you said you must cut all your flowering grasses back, like the foxtail grass.
Mm-hmm.
It's purple. It's a mauvey purple coloured thing. It's flowering unbelievable.
Yeah.
Everyone in the neighbourhood comments about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't cut it back when it's flowering. But
no.
I haven't got the heart to cut it back. When do you cut the bloody thing back?
Well, you're better off having the heart and going. Sometimes you just have to be hard with your children, Arnie. Got to be hard because. So you've got to wait until it finishes. So really, you're better off doing that at the end of winter. Now, right. I promise you it'll come back. It's not going to die. You'll get all beautiful, fresh, new growth. Either that or you can set fire to it, but people get a bit tetchy about that. Which she fairly goes up.
I'm going to send you a photo in 30 seconds. You're going to probably say, no, leave that because it looks too nice.
No, I'm saying leave it now, but what I'm saying is come back. Please send a photo, Arnie. I want to see it.
All right. Okay. Have a good day, ladies.
Okay.
Thanks, Arnie.
Thank you.
Billy from Narrogin. Good morning, Billy.
Hey, good morning. It's birthday, Billy, today.
Oh, birthday.
Happy birthday.
Billy, are you doing anything exciting?
Well, I'm a bit silly. It was yesterday, but I had a full moon and I had a Friday. So how aligned is this?
The universe is with you, Billy. The universe is with you.
I've been hugging my trees and I've been meditating and I think I'm just one with the universe.
Ah, you're a champion. And are you going to tell us about how important it is to share things in our garden?
Yes, I'd like to say thank you for last year. I'm still on the path now as we turn into 6 months to Christmas.
Yeah.
I'd like everybody to head to the nursery today. Have a look and have a think about buying a small fruit tree
mm-hmm.
that you decorate as a Christmas tree.
Good idea.
Great idea. Do you know what makes the most beautiful little Christmas tree, I reckon? And I did it for years and years and years and years until I lent the tree to very dear friends and they killed it. It's kumquat trees.
Oh, so pretty.
They are such a beautiful Christmas tree.
Yes.
Because they fruit at Christmas time.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to think a lot. I'd love to see the whole streets of Perth, Western Australia, just full of fruit trees.
Yeah.
And a neighbourly thing where the idea is that if after Christmas you plant it in your front yard if you can, hanging out the fence so we can share up and down the streets. And
absolutely.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, community garden or school if you can't. And let's just embrace the joy of what you ladies do, fruitering.
Fruitering! That's us. We are the fruiterers.
Come the fruiterer, you've got Sabanam.
Yeah.
I don't know. Work with that. Billy, thank you for that.
Thanks, Billy.
Judy is in Asherdale. Hello, Judy.
Good morning.
Morning, Judy.
I have got a ponytail palm that is about 25 years old.
Yeah.
And it's right next to the footings of my house.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether it's going to continue to obviously expand as it has and affect the footings of the house.
No. Now, what it will do, so the thing about the ponytail palm is what we see is the water chamber, the water holding chamber. So that's its big bum at the bottom, okay? But the actual root system of a ponytail palm is not very big.
Right.
So if the pressure of its bottom, it'll rather than lift anything, it'll wrap around it. I doubt very much that your ponytail palm will have any effect on the footings of your house at all.
Right. The one thing that I do have, though, is I've got windows that go right to the ground. So I've only got a fairly low footing. So if that bulb continues to expand, then it could...
It'll crack your glass. Yeah.
Crack the glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It'll definitely do glass, but it won't do your footings. So, yeah. They don't have much of a root system. So if you've got a recip saw, a crowbar and half a football team, you'll be able to lift it up and move it. And they're really heavy.
I don't have a football team.
Well, cheaper for your food bill if you don't.
Yeah.
It's the upside of that, Judy.
good on you, Judy.
So if it did actually have to come out, how easy would it be for me just to, end its life?
Oh, to put it down. Easy peasy, but you will need a recip saw because you're going to have to sort of cut into it.
Right, and then it'll just rot away, will it?
Yes, it will. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
And just, have a little chat with it before you do that, Judy. Just to go,
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, that's right. I'll make you into mulch. Something like that.
Thanks, Judy. Like that. Thanks, Judy.
Okay, thanks, Judy.
Incoming.
This is an ABC podcast.
First, there was Burning Man, a festival in the desert.
Burning Man is dangerous, but so is life.
Now, an endless suburban drama.
How do I prune it? Like a heavy prune or just a trim around the edges?
No chainsaw required, Les.
What the heck? You've gone too far this time, Barry.
A tale as old as gardening itself.
Get your CPAP machine. You're sleeping in the spare room until it grows back.
From the cast and crew of Blood and Bone, this is Pruning Man.
Sabrina Hahn, that was beloved newsreader Jonathan Hopper, who had a friend hear that on the show last week.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife heard it as well. And apparently he is guilty of being a man who prunes too much.
Is that correct?
He was in the doghouse. They were like, how dare you? How dare you introduce that? Like, you have not committed the crime. I suspect that Winnie is committing crimes while his wife is away. Whoa. Hello, friend of the show, Winnie.
Hello, Winnie.
Good morning, girls. Look, just with that wind warning coming down, anyone should be tying things down. I was going to tell you, Sab, I went to the doctor about my wind recently.
And did he tell you the only cure is to go outside while your wife is absent and take to something with a chainsaw, Winnie? Is that what he told you?
He actually gave me a kite.
And said, don't put it up unless there is an electrical storm above you.
Yes, don't wear any obvious clothing. Sam, now that my wife's away, this is the time to do pruning.
Absolutely, Winnie.
can't be held accountable for anything that goes wrong.
No. Well, the one thing, Winnie, you can say that the storm came through and ripped your olive tree to bits, so you had to tidy it up.
You are enabling bad behaviour. Winnie does not need any encouragement.
I know, that's what I do, Winnie.
I'm tempted to get Mrs. Winnie on the phone and dog you in.
Becoming a pruning enabler. I've never been that before.
No, I know. What do you want to prune?
I've got this large olive tree. Is it okay to prune it at the moment? Because last time you told me to prune the plum tree, I nearly killed it. So I just thought,
olive trees are much harder to kill, Winnie. You'll be fine. Yes. You can't kill an olive tree by pruning it, if that makes you feel any better about the plum tree.
When I was just discussing it with my therapist last week, she said I'm coming along nicely. So I'm just hoping.
Do you know what? Those prunes, that's been a long time in the holding of the grudge, hasn't it? The prunes.
Yeah.
Winnie's plums.
As my wife says to me, which has been a success of 35 years of marriage, girls, yeah, the three words a man needs to learn, must try harder. So there you go.
Well, don't try too hard on your olive tree. Now, Winnie, I want you to prune your olive tree in the shape of sort of a vase. Not a fancy. It doesn't need to be a Louis the 14th French vase. So you don't need to get the Edward Scissorhand snippers out. Olive trees look so much better when they're pruned and maximum 3.5 metres high. Maximum.
3.5 metres high. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Think about all those marvellous trips that you've done over in Europe and when you've wandered through the olive plantations sipping on something.
Yes.
Sipping on
daiquiri. Helen says my French is coming along so well since I've been watching Hello, Hello.
Winnie time travelled here from 1980.
Oh, thanks, girls, for the counsel.
Thank you for that, Winnie.
A young man vanishes and something about it doesn't sit right.
It made no sense.
I'm Rob Bergen. Join me for What Became of Jack, the new season of Unravel.
You know where my son is.
Search for the Unravel podcast on ABC Listen.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
What have you discovered for us this weekend to drag us away from the 1980s and into this century?
Into this century. Oh, Winnie, you're going to love it. Well, you know, we've got the storm coming, so I thought it's applicable to pick something. So this song is called Run Rabbit.
Nice. Run. That was Molly Elizabeth there with Run Rabbit, which is, I think, from... part of it, at least, from that World War II song, Run, Rabbit, Run. Sabrina Hahn's microphone is not on.
Yes, but you'll notice that some of the lyrics really aren't from that era.
Quite contemporary.
Yes.
Adventure awaits little ears with free audiobooks.
Most intriguing.
Like the 13-story treehouse. And The Wind in the Willows.
The best stories in the world.
Find free audiobooks for little ears on the ABC Listen app.
Vicky has been waiting for so long. Vicky, thank you for your patience. What would you like to ask Sabrina?
Yes, I've discovered that I've got gallwasp. My lemon tree had 8 years and it has not been ever looked very healthy, 2 lemons. However, lo and behold, this year I've got loads of lemons and I've been told that it's on the way out, it's going to die.
Ah, why have you been told that?
Well, I don't know. It was on Google.
Oh, I do have to tell... The problem with Google is that most of the information that you will see will come from American websites.
Yeah.
So you're better off, whenever you're Googling anything about a plant, you must put Western Australia, because even the stuff that comes in from over east is not always applicable to here. So, and then the stuff that you'll do on Google searches is definitely not applicable to...
Yeah, I did put Australia in, but it must have been over. So what, someone's, my gardener's cut it. I don't know if he knows what he's doing, but he's cut the tree right down about half off.
Yeah.
And cut bits off that's got the gall on. So what do I do?
Okay, so it's not, it won't kill it. And what you need to do now is to feed it up so it grows some new, you know, get some new growth on it before spring.
Yeah. Right.
So I would get some wetting agent, particularly before this afternoon, and some fertilizer and a bit of compost around it, and just sort of give it a little, you know, a little treat. Before the rain comes in. But, you know, pruning a lemon tree back by 50% definitely will not kill it.
Okay, great. Mm. Is the spray any good, the clay stuff, the kaolin spray?
Doesn't work.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
The CSIRO are developing a different a different clay-based spray. So we're hoping that that will be available. They're just doing, they're still doing trials on it. So once that's out and about, I'll let everyone know.
Right. And my grandson, he's only young, but he likes to wee on it. And I think
that's fine. Absolutely fine. Yep.
Good.
Yep. Kelly Mahican is very welcome to do that on a daily basis.
Thanks for that, Vicky, and thanks for your patience. We've got a couple of lines free, 1300 221 0025, if you would like to talk to the goddess that is Sabrina Hahn. Something about, what is this? This is a pincushion.
This is a Hakea Larina, pincushion Hakea.
Alan in Mundaring. Alan sent some pictures.
He sent some pictures of a beautiful Hakea Larina, the pincushion Hakea in full flower, and he's concerned that it's got a little bit unruly and should he prune it. Now, Alan, yes, you should. What happens with Hakea Larina or the pincushion Hakea is there's two forms. There's one that's upright and the other one is a weeping form. So the problem with the Hakea Larina, the weeping form in particular, it gets really, really heavy with flower, and if you have major storms coming through because it gets very top heavy, they have a tendency to be ripped out of the ground. Now we're in for some pretty strong winds. If you have a Hakea in particular that is really top heavy, I want you to go and prune its head back by 40%. Because it will prevent it from being ripped out of the ground. Woolly bushes are another one, the Aidenanthus, it happens with them. So when there's very strong winds, particularly it's the gusts that usually take them out, prune the top off so that they've got a bit more stability. So, Alan, I would be doing that this morning. The flowers make a beautiful cut flower. So when you're pruning it, bring all those cut flowers inside.
Mm. That all sounds like very clever advice.
Mm.
What else have we got here?
What's going on here? Ish. What's that thing?
That looks like, is that a frog? Violet?
Oh, no. Oh,
is it, an
an African violet.
It's got yellowy leaves, hasn't
it? Yeah, so the yellowy leaves are too much water, and also Sue in Wooraloo.
Sue from the loo.
Yeah, Sue in the loo. It's getting colder. So daytime, you know, the sunlight days, they're shorter, but you're overwatering it.
There you go.
Mm.
1300 221 0025. Couple of lines are free. Christy in Secret Harbour, which is not a secret because there's a bloody big sign out the front of it, isn't
there,
Christy?
It's a massive sign.
Hello, Christy.
Hello, Sabrina. Hello.
Hello, Christy. I
love your show, girls. It's actually Christy with a double S-Y.
There you go. Hi, Christy.
Sorry, Chrissy.
No wonder you didn't respond.
I have sent some photos through. I don't know if you've got that yet.
Of
Hoya. A Hoya.
A Hoya, yes. And it is very root-bound.
Oh, they like being root-bound, but yours might be very, very root-bound. We're trying to find it.
It's been a long time. And it's climbed up the wall, so I can't remove it to repot it.
Oh.
Chrissy, did you send any texts? Because it's tricky. There are so many texts
incoming.
We've got
Joe from Australia.
Yeah,
she's got a Hoya.
Everyone else's Hoyas except yours. Yeah. Did you put any words in with the photograph?
Just Hoya.
You did put Hoya in the text?
I did.
Tell me the last three numbers of your phone number. How about that? Let's try that.
049.
049. No, let's try that. Incoming Hoya. Nope. That was of absolutely no
anyway,
help whatsoever.
You, oh, okay. Do you want to repot it, but it's attached to a wall and obviously you can't take it off the wall, pull it out of the pot and repot it.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's sitting on like one of those garden plant stands, so the pot can't be too big.
Yep, okay. So what
replacing into a bigger pot?
Yes, that's what I'm going to suggest. So now, have you got any wiggle room where you can lift the pot that it's in? Can you lift it up, say, 10 centimetres?
Yeah, probably. I could try, yeah.
Okay, so the pot that it's in, is it a plastic pot or a terracotta one?
Plastic.
Okay, great. So you need to get long handle pruners, and you're going to cut that plastic pot in four sections so you can peel it off.
Yep, I can do
and
that.
And then you're going to get a bigger plastic pot, and you're going to tip it sideways, and by stealth, you're going to squeeze it underneath the root ball of the hoya, and then you're going to put it in the pot first, and then you'll fill the pot up with soil.
Do I disturb the roots?
You won't need to disturb the roots, no. No, yep.
Okay, all right. So I need to try and fit that pot onto underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So
is it the time to do it now?
I'd be doing it this morning.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Can you do it this morning or not?
Not really.
Okay, we'll do it whenever you've got time to do it, Chrissy. that's very simple.
It's okay in winter.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Good luck with that, Chrissy.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, girls.
Thanks, Chrissy.
Someone has sent through a beautiful photograph, I believe it's of Harvey Dam.
Oh, wow.
Waiting for the storm. It looks so beautiful down there.
Doesn't look stunning. That is an awesome photo.
Great photograph.
So in the foreground, it's one of those lenses that do the circular. It's a landscape
fish
lens.
Eye. Is it a fisheye?
Yeah, fisheye, yeah.
It's beautiful.
And the reflection of the sky on the dam. Mm.
Absolutely gorgeous. Thank you for sending that through. Mm. I think your name is Ross. I'm not sure, though. Paul is in City Beach. Is your name Paul?
Yes.
That's a relief. What would you like to ask Sabrina, Paul?
Good morning. So I've got some citrus plants that have been infected, trees that have been infected with gall wasp.
Yep.
And white scale.
Yep.
And I've cut them back in some cases quite severely.
Yeah.
And now I'm wondering what I should do. Should I feed them, leave them alone, give them some nitrogen?
I'd feed them, Paul. Yeah, because you've cut them right back. So now the thing with citrus is you don't want a big burst of growth in spring because you get the citrus leaf miner, gall wasp will be back. So it's a good idea to try and get them to grow now during these winter months. So feed it, new compost on it. The scale you can spray with a pest oil, suffocates them. So I do all that.
Oh, I do have some pest oil and I will feed them.
Yep.
I didn't spray the trees because I just cut the scale.
Oh, you cut the scale. Okay, well, no need to spray. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy, yeah. She says.
Okay. Just look out for the next generation of scale, though.
Yes. Okay, we'll do. And anything in particular I should feed them or?
Get a well-balanced fertilizer. It must have all the trace elements, in particular magnesium, manganese, zinc, and iron.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect.
Yep.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
You are welcome.
And enjoy the storm coming through City Beach later on today. What a cracker.
Amber from Little Grove in Albany says, any tips for tackling honey fungus that has killed mature trees in my garden and some trees are looking ill? Have dug out and removed the major roots of the dead trees. How can I help the rest of the garden survive? See this photo of the peppermint tree with flowering fungus. It's the most extraordinary looking thing.
So they call
not?
It the honey fungus, and that, of course, is just the fruiting body of the armillaria fungus, which will go down 2 metres and spread for wherever there's tree roots. Armillaria is the most difficult thing to control. There's nothing that I know of that will treat armillaria. And I know 15 years ago they were doing some research at UWA about malaria control. They actually found the mycelium deep, like we're talking 2 meters deep.
Wow.
So there's nothing that I know that will control our malaria.
Oh, Amber, we're so sad to be the bearers of bad news.
If there is anyone out there, maybe there's a scientist out there that's been doing work on the honey fungus, we want you to ring in, so it'd be really nice to have someone on the program that can talk about it, because if I inherited a garden that had malaria, I literally would sell up and move.
Oh, gee whiz. That's really distressing.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Her name's Amber.
Amber.
From Little Grove.
But don't give up hope. I'm just a horticulturalist. I'm not a
mycelium
I don't specialise in fungi. But we'll see if there's anyone that we can get out, even from the museum or CSIRO, that may have more information on it.
We have Rob from Redgate. Hello, Rob. What's your question for Sab?
Hi, Sabrina. We've inherited a mature orchard on the property we bought down here. We're about 4 km from the coast.
Yeah.
Most of the trees do really well, but the figs, we've got a couple of pretty well-established, they must be at least 20-year-old figs.
Yeah.
Plenty of fruit, set the fruit, but almost none of them come to nice, soft maturity. I don't know what fig it is. It's a green skin. The ones that do mature are red, but the centres, just they either stay all quite dry in the middle, or they just don't go that nice, soft red. There's plenty. They get watered, not over, not under, just trickled. We've got drip irrigation in the drip line of the tree.
Yep.
So I'm just wondering if it's a nutrient thing or what we need to do.
I don't think it's going to be a nutrient thing, Rob. Now, if figs have grown from a seed, sometimes you get lots of variation in that, and the figs just give you breeder crops. They don't come to anything. There are some figs that actually require the wasp to pollinate the fruit, or the flowers inside the fruit. So, and you need two different figs for the wasp to do the fertilisation. If I would definitely give them trace elements and see how that works, and liquid potassium. But if over the next couple of years the fruit doesn't develop into fruit and it's dry on the inside, you've probably got a fig that requires the wasp to pollinate it. And they're very small. The male wasp stays inside the fruit. The female, he entices the female in. They sit down, have lovely afternoon tea with lit candles and soft music, do the job, and the she buggers off and goes, well, you're boring me now. I'm going to pop off and go somewhere else. So it's unlikely that you will ever get to see the wasps if that's what is required.
So but, is it a bit like avocados where maybe it might be worthwhile planting a second type of fig?
Yes.
We do have plenty of space.
And yes. Just,
and that way, maybe if we give it a couple of years and it still doesn't do it, we can
just take it out.
And the other ones.
Yep. Does definitely. That make sense? Yep. I would definitely do that, Rob. If you've got the space, put another fig in.
Chuck another fig in.
Yeah.
All right, beautiful. Thank you.
Yep.
That was a risky sentence to say quickly. Debbie is in Nanup. Hello, Debbie.
Morning.
Morning.
I have the ginger that is all sprouting and starting to flower.
Ooh.
And according to the gardener, or the app, I should harvest it now. Is that correct or is it too late now?
I wouldn't have it now, and I wouldn't be harvesting it in Nanup at this point in time. No. I would certainly be waiting until August.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't be harvesting it in winter.
Okay, all right. And so then with the flowers,
yes,
should I cut them off so that they don't suck out, or should I enjoy their beauty?
Well, you can cut them off, put them in a vase, and bring them inside.
Oh, how exciting!
Yeah.
All right, so wait till the depth of winter then.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, until winter. After the depths of winter, Debbie.
Oh, okay.
After the depths of winter.
After the depths. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Debbie.
Okay. Oh, and I found some turmeric growing. I'm so excited.
Oh, awesome. Well, I had turmeric in my garden and it disappeared and it's never come back. I don't know what happened.
Well, mine did, but it's come back. So maybe mine will. Backpacking or something.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you, ladies.
Bye.
Tony is in Claremont. Hello, Tony.
Oh, hi. Hi, Sabrina. I just have a quick question, quite a mystery one. Mm. We bought a lime tree about 15 years ago as a dwarf lime, very healthy. It gives fruit every year, but the fruit comes on perfect shape, a little bit smaller than a tennis ball, but turns green and then it turns yellow. But then we think it's ready for harvesting.
Yeah.
And we cut it in half, and there's a very strong odour in it, and we can't eat it. I was wondering what we've got, if you could throw any light on that for us.
I would say that, so it's not, when you cut it in half and it has an awful smell, it's not, is it black inside as well?
No, not usually black. No.
Okay. All right. Well, I think what's happened is whatever graft they've put that dwarf on has taken over, and you have a dud.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'm telling you that, Tony, because I hate it when gardeners spend, you know, a lot of money, a lot of time thinking that they're going to. It's reverted back to some weirdo. Strain of what it was crossed with. You may as well go and get yourself another one and get some joy out of that.
Tony?
Yes.
Tony, I've reverted back to my weirdo strain. I think it's different for people, though, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Hopefully I don't smell if you cut me in half. Tony, thanks for that, for being a good sport. Mary is in Busselton. Hello, Mary. What's your question for Sab?
Good morning, Sabrina. I did ring some time ago and you did tell me and I didn't write it down.
Oh, naughty Mary.
And now I'm here with pencil and paper.
Okay.
With my hydrangeas to cut the stem with the old flower so far.
Yep.
No flower will go down. So can you tell me what to do now, please?
Okay. So it's still a little bit early to prune your hydrangeas. I would wait for another month. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you will see the buds will start to emerge. They're already emerging. Okay, so where you've got two buds side by side, they are your flowering stems. So you need to prune down to where there's two buds, and I would be pruning 50% down the branch where you've got the two fattest, healthiest buds.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And what about those with no flowers? Do the same thing?
Do the same thing with no flowering buds because you still need leaf growth. So don't be afeard to prune your hydrangeas down by 50%, Mary.
Okay, so I cut down to two strong bud showing.
Yes.
50%.
Yes.
And they go to it. And what about one that's not very happy?
One that's not very happy, I'd take two-thirds off.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary.
I listen to your show every week.
Oh, you're a darling. Mary. Thank you so much.
Cole is going to need to be quick about his lime, but I'm sure he can do that. What's going on with your lime, Cole?
I can do this.
You can.
Several years ago, Queensland fruit fly, my lime tree that produces lots and lots, hundreds of limes, got pruned back severely whilst it was fruiting, and it hasn't fruited again until kind of this year.
Yep.
And now I'm looking at about 500, but the other day it was pruned back about a third or a half whilst it's still fruiting.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that it's going to shock it again and it's going to stop
No.
Fruiting?
No, oh, it won't. God. What I want you to do is I want you to give it some liquid fertilizer because it's got fruit on it. I don't want you giving it granular fertilizer. Liquid fertilizer. And make sure that there's humates, microbes, seaweed, and some a bit of fish in it as well. Drench it. Do that every fortnight, three times in a row, and it'll come back a treat.
Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you, Cole.
Thank you, Cole. And well, maybe we can squeeze in one tiny text. Would love to know if the attached plant is a weed or not. It's a self-seed, says Muriel.
Oh, my God, get rid of that. That is the Brazilian pepper tree. You do not want that in your garden.
Do you need the kerosene and the blackberry bizzo or do you go hard?
Chainsaw!
Will it not send up suckers?
Yeah, it will. Yeah, blackberry tree killer and kerosene.
And stay on it.
40-60.
That is this week's episode of Roots and Shoots. We thank you for coming along for the wild ride. See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.